people out there in TV land, I forgot the book of Philippians, but it is in Philippians. It is in the Bible, so get back to it when it's yours. All right, what we've done the first 2 years is I made sure that we finished in the month of April. That way in the month of May, I know there's a lot of teachers down here, and you got, if everybody's got kids in school, you got graduations and things you're planning for, so we get done in the end of April. So we did the first 2 years, so we're gonna do that this year. And what we're gonna do, that makes 3 years, so we're gonna go ahead and cut it off. He'll finish the basic Bible doctrine. This is where I was trying to get to, is Colossians. Maybe that's why I skipped Philippians. But, so what we have is, we'll stop right there and then probably take a year off. And then if anybody's interested in starting back, other people want to do it or whatever, then we can do it. If anybody here wants to do it, or if you're done, I'll probably go back over through the same books. So if all you want to do is to go to Brother Dilbert's the next time and finish after basic Bible doctrine, I guess he'll go to another book after that. So you can just go to that class on Sunday morning and not have to worry about Wednesday nights as well. But what we're going to do is the people that's been here for the 3 years, that's, you know, I mean, you ain't got to have perfect attendance, but, you know, for the most part, if you've been here all 3 years and all that stuff, we're going to try to get a certificate for you and give you that and make it look important. So we'll get all that stuff done. But next month will be the last month, and then I guess Brother Dilbert will let everybody know how he wants to do Sunday mornings, how he'll finish that out. But that should finish up 3 years. And it's basically gave us an opportunity as trying to do a Bible Institute. I mean, you know, how do you do one? You know, I don't know. So we've learned a lot and figured out a lot. I think it helps having the classes when we have church, so it's not a different night that you have to come. It's helped not having two classes on Wednesday night, just having one class on Wednesday night. I try to just go from 8:30 to 9 o'clock, 30 minutes, get it over with, be done, and just get what we can get. For the most part, we've done that. So we've kind of seen some things that'll work. Since this ain't people that's just quitting their life and moving to somewhere and just that's all it's about. You know, down there, PBI, you know, people go down there, they're not worried about a job. Just as long as they're getting money, pay their bills, they're down there for the school. So it's a lot easier for them to go 4 nights a week. They're really not, you know, soccer coaches or basketball coaches or teachers or, you know, they ain't got a lot of, you know, they're going to work and coming home and going to school. So it's different here. You got to kind of do things different with these people. So we've learned a lot about it. I mean, figure out if we'll take a year off and then figure out how we want to restart it. But for the, just to let you know, that's what we're planning on doing is finishing up next month. So we got 5 more weeks counting out, I think. And we'll have a test probably that last Wednesday night over the book of Philippians and Colossians. We're over Colossians. All right. Colossians chapter 2. Now we got down last week, we talked about the body, soul, and spirit. And now we're down to verse 14. Now, let's start back up here in verse 11. He says, "In whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the circumcision and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath been quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Now, he says in verse 14, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." All right, so we've got basically in these handwriting of ordinances that was against us was the law. Okay? So basically what you have in the Old Testament, which was the law, well, from Exodus 20 on, until John, the law and the prophets were until John. And so you had the law, which was a schoolmaster. It was going to teach you something. What it was going to teach you was you can't keep the law, basically. Alright? And so you had this law, and what it did is you had all these ordinances. And when you go reading and you start reading Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, I mean, you start looking at all this stuff, there's more than Ten Commandments. I mean, we can't handle Ten Commandments, but there was a lot more to it than that.
Amen, brother.
And so where you could mess up and do wrong. So all that stuff right there was against us. All these ordinances and all these things was against us, all right? And he says, but now what happened was when Christ died on the cross, okay, he did away with all that. It's gone. Which means, when you think about it, all the law was gone. It was gone with Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ was crucified. So that's when a person no longer had to live with the law. They didn't know that. It wasn't revealed until around Acts chapter 8 with the Ethiopian eunuch. And then in Acts chapter 15, you had your first theological debate on whether work saves you or not. And they began, it's called progressive revelation. And we went through that. So it had already happened back in Acts chapter 2. So when they rent that veil was rent in twain, and you could look back in the Holy of Holies, and you didn't die,
amen.
All of a sudden, you know, it's like when that dog pulled the curtain back on the Wizard of Oz. All of a sudden, it's over. Now everybody knows what's up. There's nothing no more. You know, it's done. So when the priest is sitting there and that thing rips in half and he's looking back at Holy of Holies and he's still alive, he knows something has changed. And it changed then.
Amen.
But we didn't realize it. It didn't really get revealed until later. But now, the point I'm making is, all this stuff right here was done away in Jesus Christ, okay? And that's what you need to get a hold of. Regardless of how much we try to remember that we cannot prove ourselves worthy of Jesus Christ, we continue to try to prove ourselves worthy of Jesus Christ. Even us, at the same time, it's, well, Lord, I'm trying to do good, Lord. Why can't you let this work out for me? God, I mean, so-and-so does bad, and look at them. And I'm just, I mean, that stuff that pops in your head, it just doesn't matter. We are still like that. But that has nothing to do with it, all right? You're not justified before God because of anything that you do. Nothing. You're justified before God because you were saved and you had that circumcision made without hands.
Amen.
That soul and spirit was saved and your flesh was pulled away from it. Now when your body sins and it doesn't touch your soul and spirit, and so there's nothing that's going to defile that, but you have the opportunity now to live through Jesus Christ, being risen with Christ, all right? So he says this. So all this right here was done away at the cross. Okay? So he nailed it to the cross. Boom. Boom, boom, boom. That law was put there, okay? It was nailed to the cross. All the ordinances that was against us. So, with this right here didn't have anything to do from now on about being justified. What we are justified by is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're justified by now, okay? And he took all that stuff right there. He nailed it to his cross because he fulfilled the law. He fulfilled the ordinances. He fulfilled all of it. Now, it says, and you being dead in your sins and this uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And so, while he was on the cross, then what you had is you had this thing going on where he would fulfill the law and he was producing something with that. But at the same time, I think it's Isaiah chapter 50. Look at Isaiah chapter 50. This man will be right up there. Talking about the cross. Here's what was, there was something going on that was spiritual at the cross as well. And it says, Isaiah chapter 50, look at verse 5. It says, "The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." So you can see, talking about the crucifixion. And so that's the physical thing that he was going through there. This is the prophecy of it. He says, "The Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me." And look what he says, "Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up." And he talks about there, he's talking about there is something physical that's going on. And so while the Lord Jesus Christ is there spiritually, he's talking to demons. And he's saying, "Who's contending with me? Bring it on. Come on, give me what you got." So there was things that was going on. Look over at Psalm, go to Psalm 22, maybe. And you're seeing how what was going on at the cross was there was more going on. And he starts off in verse Psalm 22:1. Look what he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my mouth and from the words of my roaring?" And so that right there, my God, why hast thou forsaken me, shows you're talking about the cross. And he goes down and he's talking about it. And he says, look down in verse 10. He says, "I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God, from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a raving and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It melted. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death." And so what's going on, physically, he's got all these problems. When he starts talking about the bulls of Bashan, he's talking about demons. And so spiritually there, you couldn't see it, but it says that they were, teeth were gnawing on him, biting him and chewing him up. And he was biting all that stuff, huh?
Number 16, the dogs have compassed me.
Yeah, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. But up there in verse 13, they gaped upon me with their mouths, talking about those bulls of Bashan. Mm-hmm. So spiritually, so here's what you got: principalities and powers. So as while he's on the cross, you've got the physical stuff, pulling the beard, the crown of thorns, you've got nails in the hands, all that stuff that's going on. You've got God is turning his back, and when they put sin on him, and then you've got all these demons that are, you talk about lonely, feeling like you're all by yourself, and he never done a thing wrong. And he's sitting there, and all those demons, the hell are on him and biting him, and he's looking at him and saying, "Bring it on. What do you got? Who's got? Who's here? Amen. Who's going to contend with me? Let me see it. Bring it on." And he's just sitting there, and he's taking it. And so that's what all is going on. So you got those principalities and powers, and they're trying to stop him. They're trying to stop this whole thing from happening. And look back at Colossians. Look what it says. "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." Look what it says. "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it." So when he's on the cross, you know what he's doing? He's putting them to shame. He's sitting there saying, "Bring it on. Anybody better than anybody?" Oh, I was upstairs a while ago, and Gabriel Bowen come walking in. And I looked at him and I put my hand out for a five. He goes, like that, punched my hand. I said, "That's all you got? Are you a little girl or what?" And so I was making fun of him. And that's basically the Lord sitting there, and these demons are coming after him. And it says he made a show of them openly. He's sitting there in the spiritual realm, and he's just telling them, "Bring it on. You got no better than that? Is that all you got? Is that all? Is it it?" And he just says that he made a show of them openly. And he beat them. He talked to them and beat them while he was doing it. I used to play Y'all learn how to play ping pong when I was in the Army. And I had this friend of mine, he's a black guy. We're sitting there and we played ping pong. He was awesome. He showed me how to play ping pong. And he'd sit over there and he'd laugh. And he would just sit there and he'd put his hand up. I put my hand in my pocket, JB. I got you again. I told you, you'd watch that back end. He'd sit there and he'd laugh and talk and laugh and make more and more. But he'd just make fun of me. And there wasn't nothing I could do. I couldn't beat it. That the Lord sat there and made fun of these demons and everything that's going on, and he made a show of them openly. And it says, verse 16, it says, let no man therefore, so based on the verses you just read, therefore, let no man judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. So Seventh Day Adventist, don't be judging me. So it says don't let nobody judge you. I mean, the point is, it's not about being justified. It's not about being justified before God by what you do. Now there is a point to trying to live right and do right and have a good testimony. Sonia text Beth the other night and was asking, said that one of her daughters, Rebecca, was over at Carson Newman, was arguing with somebody about losing your salvation, and we're going to James chapter 2 and talk about works and, you know, this stuff. And she texted me and said, what's a good answer for this? And I said, well, show them Romans 4, where it says you're not supposed to work, you know, because it don't justify the ungodly. And I said, just show them that in Romans 4, the reason it looks like there's a contradiction, because in James 2, it's being justified before men. It says, tell me about your faith. He says, I'll show you my faith by my works. And so what he's talking about was a man. So he was going to be justified in front of a man by saying, see, I'm saved, this is why I do this. But he was being justified before man. And James, in Romans chapter 4, being justified before God. And so you get to right here, and he's saying, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward. So right there in verse 18, what can happen? What can happen there in verse 18? What can happen to you? You can lose rewards. Right there. And we all thought, man, once we've got these rewards, we'll never have to worry about it. You can lose them. You can lose rewards. And the way you do it, it says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding in those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Joe Smith seen an angel, wrote a new book called Book of Mormon. And there you go. That's the whole deal. That's what it was all about this. It said he seen an angel. And the Quran, you know what he said in the Quran? Seen a 600-foot angel, Gabriel. They worship Gabriel in the Quran. 600-foot angel. And those people, he's sitting here saying, don't voluntarily do these things. And so there's a lot of things that people will say to you, well, now, so-and-so said they saw an angel. What about that? Read your Bible. If it was an angel, you ain't supposed to be worshiping. What's the big deal? That's just it. But people can't handle that. If they think somebody saw an angel, man, they're just excited. And, you know, they'll use that verse over there. Somebody's entertained. Angels unaware. Well, as long as you don't worship it, you'll be doing okay. Because you lose your rewards if you do. He says in verse 19, not beholding the head from which all the body by joints and bands have a nourishment, ministered, knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using. The point he's sitting here saying is, quit trying to prove that you're worthy to God. Because you are not. We talk about you walk by the same way you got saved, which is by faith. That is believing what God said. If God said this is the way to do it, then you do it that way, and you do it that way expecting a certain outcome. That's just the way it works. It's, if I say, if I give you instructions or directions on how to get to Knoxville, you've never been before, I say, go out here, and when you get to Interstate 75, go south on Interstate 75. There's no signs or nothing. By you showing faith in me is, well, when you get out there, it's at South 75, that's it, I'm going that way. You're believing what I'm telling you, and you're making a decision based on my instruction. That's what this is. God has made instructions. He says, this is what you have to do to live right. And this whole thing, all through the book, the New Testament here, with the Apostle Paul, the Pauline epistles, it is over and over and over and over about walking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Look at Galatians chapter 5 again. We've looked at it many times, and every time we do, we feel bad. Or I do. Starts saying words that are just tough. It says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. See that word right there, being long-suffering?
Yeah.
That's tough. Gentleness, being gentle. That's tough for me. I'm not gentle. It's cut and dry, left or right, right or wrong. Just, you know, hey, it's wrong. Stupid. Do it different. Well, what if I just try? Listen, I told one of my kids the other day, I said, you know what the definition of a fanatic is? Is a person that keeps trying to do the same thing that they were already doing and think it's going to come out different. No matter how many times you try it, it ain't worked. And guess what? It ain't going to work the next time. And I get frustrated with them. So what is it? I said, not being gentle. That's not being gentle. I'm just not a gentle person a lot of times. I try to be, but I'm not. And it's not because I can't be gentle. It's because I'm not walking in the Spirit. And every time you read this, you realize it said, verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the led of the Spirit, not under the law, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. See there, hatred. You hate anybody? You ever just people just you just see them and you're just like, there's just something inside you, just hate them. That's the flesh. That's what it says. It goes on to say, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, arguing, fighting, seditions, heresies, envying people, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. All those things are the flesh. So if that's what you've got in your life, then guess what? You ain't walking in the Spirit. How do you know you're walking in the Spirit? Because in your life, you're producing love, joy, peace, gentleness, good, or long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and faith. If those things ain't in your life, you ain't walking in the Spirit. If you ain't walking in the Spirit, you ain't getting any rewards. The only way to get a reward is to walk in the Spirit. That is the only way. And if you're walking after the flesh, it's just going to burn up. It's all going to burn up. So you have to walk in the Spirit. And he says, and if you do walk in the Spirit, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. And so, you know, we've talked about walking in the Spirit and how to be spiritual over there in Ephesians chapter 5. Look over Ephesians 5. And I know going back over this stuff, it's back to the same old stuff, but Paul is going back to the same stuff. It's the same stuff. Yeah. Touch not, handle not. It's not something that you can sit here and do. That's called will worship. You can make yourself do some things in life. But that's not the way it works. Ephesians chapter 5. He says in verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So one is speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That is, when you're sitting here speaking to yourself, if you're speaking to yourself in psalms, that means you're quoting Scripture. You're sitting here quoting Scripture to yourself and studying. You're singing songs about the Lord, spiritual songs. You're sitting there thinking, singing about God. And that is changing you. And as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in Him. You received him by faith, walk by faith. What does that mean? Faith is believing what he told you to do. If you want to be spiritual, let me tell you what to do. First off, start speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And then, start giving God thanks, always, for all things unto God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we went through this once before. It's speaking, then it's giving, and then it's submitting. All three things that I love so much. Those things about, I ain't listening to him. He puts his pants on one leg at a time like I do. How many times you ever heard something like that? Some guy out on the shop floor. Well, so-and-so said, I don't care what he said. I don't care what he said. Hey, there he works. That's what they do. But you know what God says? The Apostle Paul says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. How do you get filled with the Spirit? Speaking to yourself. Giving thanks. You get up and start giving God thanks for everything that you have. And if you can't sit there and think of nothing, then do something like, I mean, good night. Right now, you can get on the internet and you can Google people that have lost a kid and read a story about them. And then go look at your kids. People that lost an arm or a leg and read their story, what happened to them. They were in the military, got a bomb, blew their legs off. They come back, nobody's taking care of them. That's tragic. But you know what it'll do? It'll make you think about having legs. And you know what? All of a sudden, you start getting tender toward God, and you start giving thanks. That's all it take. Yeah. It's all it take. I mean, how long have you been married now, Nathan?
11 months, 2 months,
something like that. She ain't here, so I'm
gonna be yeah, that'd be exactly.
But there's people that plan to get married. I read a story of a basketball coach that was getting ready to get married. He was coaching somewhere. He was a assistant coach. He's a Christian. His wife was a Christian. He's driving down the interstate in Atlanta. Tire blew out on her vehicle. Threw him up against the wall. Flipped it a bunch of times. And wife died. Christians. Went to church. He's still coaching. Got a good attitude toward what happened. Instead of devastating. See? And a lot easier to go up there now, right now, just say, thank you, Lord, for my wife. You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. You can think there's all kinds of stuff that will get your heart and your mind back. But now what will happen is if you sit here and listen to everything in the world, then your mind will be that way. It's all about a mindset, and that's where God says the battle's in the mind. That's what he said in Romans chapter 8. Right here is where the battle's at. And so what God's saying with these verses right here, giving thanks, is getting your heart right, getting your mind right, and sitting here thinking about how life really is. A lot of you, Joshua, are still in high school. Not much longer.
Woo!
Through about 6 more weeks, baby, and it's over. The tribulation is over. Oh. But you sit there and talk to some kids and find out what they can do in life. Julia was talking about this little girl she talked to the other day and said, somebody started talking to her and she said, oh, is that your mom? She said, no, it's really my aunt, but she's raising me. And Julie said, oh, yeah? I said, yeah. I said, my mom, she got pregnant and with a black guy, and she didn't want it to be, so she didn't want to have an abortion. My aunt talked to me into having me, and she said she raised me. And she said, now she's got kids, like 5 more kids with black eyes. And Julie said, well, are you ever going to go? She said, no, I never want to see her again in my life. And you've had your race, wasn't raised like that. You see what I'm saying? It's just when we're so caught up with ourselves, and we don't think about what anybody else is going through, it's so easy to think this to be all about us. But that stuff about love, joy, peace, gentleness, I mean, there's kids I can remember coaching or being in school and substitute teaching and stuff like that, and there's certain kids just coming. I just didn't want to talk to them. But all it took was to sit down and talk to them and learn a story about them and realize what they're going through at home. And my whole countenance to that kid changed. And I was gentle with those kids. And it's real easy to be down there because of the way I grew up. Be down there at the have a dinner. And I remember bus kids going down through there. And grabbing oatmeal cream pies, sticking in there. I've been bagging bags, and I'll start throwing stuff in bags, give it to them, and go home. I remember what it was like not having nothing to eat growing up. So all it takes is just a little bit of knowledge, but when we're so self-consumed, and how bad we got it, and who done us wrong, it's, we don't think about that stuff. But then, once we get our heart right, and we realize what we do have, it's easy to thank God, it's easy. That gentleness, you're not sitting there having to try to make yourself be nice. Okay, I've got 30 seconds to be nice to this kid. That's called will worship. You're making yourself do it. But when your heart gets changed, then it's just being produced in your life. That's what the walking is. Look back at Colossians chapter 2. I'll show you what I mean. He says, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting the body, not in any honor to the satisfying the flesh. And so the point he's making is you can sit here and have will worship. You can make yourself do things that you think you're supposed to do, and you put your little list of things. This is what makes me look like a Christian. I'm going to dress right. I'm going to do this. 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 And then you're going to feel justified before people. And there's just a haughty spirit to that right there. And people see it. You get around these churches where it's all about standards. I mean, you can just, it's just oozing out of them. I know people that's went to church camps with people. And, you know, three or four churches go together and they'll go to a church camp. And they take their suitcases and look through their suitcases. Their kids that came with them, like whoever's the standard person, you know, looked at these suitcases. And say, this ain't good, this ain't good, this ain't good. The preacher's like, I went through them beforehand so we wouldn't get in trouble. He said, and they still found something. What it is, it's like all of a sudden they're the judge.
Yeah.
And they're the judge, and they're doing this in the name of spirituality. And it's just oozing on. You can just tell there's nothing gentle in that. There's not no love. There's no peace in that. There's no, and it's just terrible. You know, and it's easy to get to that point. And that's what people do. It's a will worship. Somebody has put a set of standards up there, and then everybody's agreed to, yep, those are the things that, you know, our camp, you know, this is what we're going to subscribe to. And you go through that stuff, that's what it is. And it's junk, it's flesh, and it's sickening to God. God don't like it. You know what He wants? He wants somebody to be thankful. He wants them to be us, singing about Him and giving Him praise, giving Him honor, and He wants them to submit. That's all He talks about through the New Testament. It's submitting. Submit yourselves one to another. All that stuff, I mean, it's in there. Just, and if everybody did it, we'd get along great. Everybody would just get along great. That's just be perfect. That's the way it's supposed to be. One of these days, hopefully soon, it'll be there. So, all right. So, that finishes out chapter 2, and we'll go ahead and stop right there. Larry, could you dismiss us?
Go ahead, please.